read in the New Testament section. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. My Lord and Redeemer, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we get a little bit about the nature of God, what kind of a God he is. Long-suffering. Also that he is intimately aware of, familiar with, and concerned with each and every aspect of our lives. Every trial, every tribulation, everything that we see as maybe difficult times when it seems no one else is with us. I shared this with the class last night, or with a group last night for our service. So bear with me on this. There was once a group of women studying the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. As they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, this woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest, as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about how God thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if that was true, that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered yes, and explained not only that he had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be damaged. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. If today you are feeling the heat of the world's fire, just remember that God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, are refining you. You're predestined. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. An unknown author, but a good point. As we look at these two parables, the ones that we know so well, the lost sheep, the lost coin. Now, it's easy to read the title and think, okay, it's all about the lost sheep and the lost coin. Or you could think, because we're here in church together, we're the 99 in the flock that are together. It's that one that's lost, that's out there somewhere, not in here with us, because we're okay, right? So it's easy to think that this is a story for the lost. Well, guess what? In our own way, in our own time, we're all lost. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous among us on our own. It's only by our faith in Christ Jesus that we're made rightwise. Jesus' sacrifice on that cross at Calvary restores us and gives us an opportunity to be in a right relationship with God, the Creator. So when we look at that and you think about this, the first two verses, now all the tax collectors and sinners are coming near and listening to Him. This would be all them bad people. You know, those bad tax collectors and, you know, all those sinners. Okay, you don't have show of hands, but how many of you are without sin? Now, I wouldn't raise my hand either. And Bob's not here, so. Tell Betty Ann I mentioned him again today. So he tells them this, this parable. So you think about the sheep that's lost. And if you understand how sheep are, it's real easy to understand that sheep just wander around. That's why there's a sheep dog, and that's usually why the shepherd has to watch them very closely. Because these are not those sheep that you count that jump joyfully over a fence while you're getting ready to go to sleep. They're unruly. They are, as I've read about sheep, not having tended sheep, they can be ornery little cusses and pretty obstinate and stubborn, you know, kind of like me most of the time. So they have a tendency to wander off. So no wonder the shepherd goes off to find them. You know, anybody in here in real estate? I know I've asked the question. I know a number of you people sell real estate, have sold real estate, and are in real estate. What is any house or parcel of land worth? What's its value? What someone else is willing to pay for it. What do you think you're worth? What do you think those sheep are worth? To the shepherd, that one sheep is worth going out and finding them, looking for them. You are a lost sinner. You, without Christ, have not a hope of getting to the kingdom of heaven. And read how he reacts when he finds them. In verse 6, he says, and when he comes home, when he finds the sheep, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. Now, I ran off a number of times. Now, I didn't run away, but I'd run off and I'd leave. And Dad would come and find me. And I do not remember ever him being extra special nice to me when he found me and was bringing me home. There were usually a few words exchanged, and I knew that he was disappointed in me. But read how Jesus does this. or in the parable. And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. Not only that, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost." What's the value of that sheep to the shepherd? Enough that he would pick up and carry, that he would rejoice, that he would call his friends and say, "Rejoice." Just so, Jesus says, "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Okay, there's a kick to this one as well. Read that one again. "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needed no repentance." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples, and he's talking to those tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, how many of those people are you think are persons who need no repentance? Every single one of them, every single one of us needs to repent. Confess your sins, repent of them, ask for forgiveness. Confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, as Paul says. He wasn't finished with him. He said, "Or the woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully. And when she finds it," what happens? She calls her friends together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Found and rejoice. Who did the seeking? Who did the searching? The shepherd and the woman who'd lost the coin. Who does the rejoicing? The shepherd and the woman who found the coin. Just as Jesus, and as he says here, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, how many sinners are there out there? Confession's good for the soul. I didn't see a hand raised up there in the up there. Alex, are you still awake? Alex? Yeah. Okay. And Jasper? Okay. Just checking to see if you guys were awake. She stuck her hand up, right? So anyway, the point of all of this is that this parable, these two parables, speak to how much you are worth to Jesus. Now, last week we talked about counting the cost before you do things, making disciples of Christ, where they were to count the cost before they volunteered, said they would follow Christ and be disciples. Here, he's showing you, telling us how much he values us, what he's willing to do for us. See how precious each one of you are to the Creator? See how precious and of great value you are? And just as that woman was sitting there with that silversmith, and hearing how he was refining the silver, and when he knew that the silver was ready to be removed from the flame, so Jesus watches us and each of our trials. And we're ready when we reflect our Creator in that moment. God loves you. He's willing to pay an inestimable price for you. So, rejoice with me for those that are lost. Rejoice also for those who are here. I say again, rejoice. Shalom.